Tip Today with Fran Curry, IMRO Radio Award Gold Winner.
In association with SlatteriesGarage.ie.
Good morning, welcome along to Tip Today, 1800-938-007, our free phone number, and Emma is looking after the show today. She'll be glad to hear from you. Coming up on this morning's programme, across all of the newspapers today and the media in general, what's being described as a shameful and scandalous melee at Croke Park yesterday. We'll be talking about that in just a little while. Fianna Fáil Councillor Roger Kennedy has been elected Cathaoirleach of Tipperary County Council. I'll be speaking to Roger in just a little while too. More stories emerging about UHL, bad driving behaviour on the roads. We'll hear from one of our listeners, and Tom Wood has a brand new photographic book, and it's just gorgeous. It's called a scrapbook. It's Tom Wood's scrapbook, and we'll chat to Tom, and we'll take a traipse down memory lane as well with him. And takeaway orders surge post-COVID. So all of that and much, much more. We have a lovely prize for you. We're teaming up with Gas Networks Ireland to encourage you to keep it local this summer for your chance to win a daily €100 voucher for a Tipperary business. We're asking you to tell us about your favourite local business and share some of your favourite Irish summer memories as well. So do you have a local shop that looks after you very well? It could be a grocery shop or, you know, an electrical shop or whatever. Or is there a business that you're very impressed with? Well, it could be you winning that €100 voucher. So you can get on to us on 083-311-3311. If you want to put keep it local at the end of your contribution, we will pop you into the draw. Of course, that's our message constantly here from Tip FM. Do support local from your local station, County Tipperary's Tip FM. Let's have a quick look at what's making headlines today. To the Irish Independent, first of all, Minister demands minimum rise of €10 in weekly pension. The Green Party is calling for a minimum €10 increase in the weekly state pension and in social welfare payments in October's budget. Also on the front of the Indo today, a picture of that incident at Croke Park and seemingly the GAA to probe Croke Park gouging claims. And, you know, from the picture in front of me, it definitely was gouging, that's for sure. To the Irish Times, they're leading with G7 leaders announcing $600 billion for developing countries. And seemingly G7 leaders relaunched that investment fund for developing country infrastructure to challenge growing Chinese influence a year after presenting a similar program, I suppose, at their last gathering. Also on the Irish Times today, demonstrations continued in several US cities over the weekend in response to a Supreme Court ruling eliminating the constitutional right to abortion after almost 50 years. And it's very divisive, as you can imagine, in the States. The Irish Examiner, children being deprived of proper clothes. And children are wearing hand-me-down, oversized shoes and pyjamas in the daytime as parents cut costs to make ends meet, according to staff at Barnardo's. And the families of two Kerry men who died within days of each other after spending time in Garda custody have demanded better training for members of the force and the Garda Síochána Ombudsman Commission as well. And finally, to the Irish Daily Mail, parents now fear back-to-school costs. Parents face a summer of dread as they struggle to deal with primary and secondary school charges of up to €1,500, it's been warned. Also, a wonderful photograph of Diana Ross on the front of the Mail today. And seemingly at the age of 78, she dazzled everybody at Glastonbury. I didn't see it myself, but did you? You might like to share what you feel about Glastonbury this year as well. 1800-938-007. Now, as I said earlier, many sports fans expressing their anger following the melee at full time in the Galway Armagh game. Now, Pat Spillane was particularly agitated, saying it's scenes that we should not hide behind, regardless of what counties are involved. It's been described all over the papers today as scandalous, shame and all involved, the Sunday shame, and lots of other phrases used as well. I'm glad to be joined now by a great old friend of mine, broadcaster and sports pundit, Muirish Walsh. Muirish, good morning to you.
Morning, Fran.
And good to talk to you this morning. This is something you've been talking to me about for years. How do you feel about what happened yesterday?
Well, obviously, like everybody else, I'm shocked and disappointed, but not overly shocked. I think that, and I've been saying this to you for years, and I've been saying it on Golan's program for, you know, years, that firstly, I think there's two great organisations still standing in this country. Credit unions are one, the GAA are the others. But the problem in the GAA is that, as great an organisation as it is, it has a problem where there's a level of violence and abuse deemed acceptable within the organisation. There was many club games played around the county yesterday. Fantastic games, I'm sure, in hurling. But I guarantee you, there was many referees that were abused. And there is a mindset amongst people that once they pay their admission fee, it gives them a right to abuse players and referees and umpires and linesmen alike. And the second thing I feel, and I've always felt this, that there are too many people on the sideline during a GAA match. And that's not before you even get into county level. Mm. I mean, you go to any game, and there's 5, 6, 7, 8 guys on the sideline, people, male and female, and I have absolutely no idea why half they are. And my difficulty with all of this is, Fran, because there's enough being spoken about the actual incident itself yesterday, is that Pat Spillane is quite right in that, you know, we can hide behind counties and, like, this is the third time we've seen this on our televisions this year, and it's, I think Armagh have been involved in two of them. And that's not to lay the blame at the Armagh or the Northern teams, and I don't like that narrative either.
Yeah, but there's been a lot of commentary around that, people saying, what can we expect from Ulster teams, Maurice?
Well, I think, look, I've been following Ulster because of a family connection. I've been following Ulster football since I was a child, and it is a tougher brand of football. But let's not get bogged down on that. Bogged down on that, Fran. I mean, it's a tougher brand of football. I think it's a more competitive. It's probably the most competitive provincial championship in football in the country. But I think myself that, look, the problem I would, and I want to just make this point. I said this to you yesterday to a few people. If that melee happened above in the complex in Clonmel Town or Coupe Park in St. Michael's, or if it happened out in Kilfeek in a rugby match, the referee would be left with no choice but to abandon the game. That's what would happen. It's not tolerated in any other code of sport. But we're into we're well into the 21st century. The ban has gone a long time, but there still is a feeling out there that, you know, we can't embrace what other sports do, because if you play soccer or play rugby, you're an inferior Irishman. And let's be blunt about it. So we need to adopt rules that are in other sports, like rugby. Now, Brian, I'm not going to come on this, your show or any show, and say that I'm a rugby expert. I'm not. But one of the things that I do admire about the rugby is that there is zero tolerance.
Yes.
Zero tolerance for abuse, zero tolerance for fouls. If a player gets a red card, it's a red card. He's not being surrounded.
And the referee is respected greatly. It seems like that to me anyway. Yeah.
Absolutely he is. And I can tell you as well, I mean, I go to more junior soccer matches than I can forget. And that I can remember. And it's not tolerated in junior soccer either. That's the lowest level of soccer you can play anywhere in the world. And I think what we need to do, and this isn't me pontificating, nobody loves Gaelic games more than I do. There's no bigger hurling or football fan in Tipperary than me. But I think what we need to do, and I've been saying this for years, is that when we get our 5 and 6 year olds into the GAA field for the first time, and they're kitted out there with their helmets and their hurleys and their footballs and their boots, and they're all excited to play. The first thing we need to do is start teaching them the rules of the game. Mm. I mean, the great Johnny Ryan, who retired as an inter-county ref, once, a good friend of mine, once said to me one time, at the start of every game, there's 31 players on the field, but there's only one of us know the rules. Well, that's the referee.
Yeah.
And I think we need to start, the clubs need to start doing their bit, and they need to show leadership on this. And the other thing as well is where I see where people are, you know, getting a little bit fed up, and the commentary is starting to get a little bit stronger around it. We saw it there recently where, I'm not going to start naming out the player's name, but a couple of Clare players and the Galway player, and last year we had it with a Cork player for the All-Ireland, to get sent off. Their sanction is banned for the next game.
Mm.
What happens? We read or we hear their ban is lifted. They're free to play.
Yeah.
No one knows why. So what message is that sending out? Is that, yeah, you can transgress the rules, but, you know, if you have a good secretary, good county board secretary or a good club secretary, he'll get you off. And I know, and I do know, sorry, friend, I do know that here in Tipperary, they are clamping down on abuse of referees. Fines are being handed out, to be fair, to add a bit of balance to this. And they are doing their best. But there is a shortage of referees.
I wouldn't wonder, Murish. Who would want that job?
Yeah, I mean, I spoke to three inter-county referees last night, and I said, I don't envy. And this thing that, and look, there is four fine dressing rooms in Croke Park, right? But there's not four fine dressing rooms in every other ground in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And are we at the stage where we have to, where we're training players to behave like men?
Mm-hmm.
And then, but we treat them like children, that they can't go in the same gate, that we have to, you know. And even Sean Kavanagh's commentary on last night,
yes,
where he did say it was disgraceful, and to be fair to him, but he said he didn't mind it amongst the players that were playing because there's a bit of heated emotion and pushing and shoving on and that. But he said once people from outside get involved. Now, Fran, you see, that's the mindset. That's the mindset. It's all right once it's the players on the field, but it's the lads jumping in from the side. It's not okay. It's not acceptable. And it's not me pontificating, Fran. I thought it was probably one of the best games of football I have seen since the 2013 All-Ireland football semi-final between Dublin and Kerry. It was riveting stuff yesterday, right? It was fantastic, okay? But that shouldn't take away... that the game itself shouldn't take away what happened at halftime. I mean, man, it was tuggery. Let's call it what it was. It was tuggery.
Yeah, the photographs are in front of me. I'm sure you picked up a pair. You probably saw the photographs online.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very obvious what was going on there. The only issue I have, though, Murish, is that there was trial by social media on this as well. I mean, the player at the centre of the gouging incident, he was identified within minutes.
Yeah, well, that I don't agree with.
Yeah.
And I'm not on social media for that reason. And I'm afraid the keyboard warriors who are anti-GEA and who blame the GEA, you know, for everything, they're having a field day. But equally, the GEA, they need to get this in order. And, like, there's no point handing out a big fine to Galway and Armagh and then move on and say there's nothing left to see here, lads.
Yes.
And you see, the other thing too, as you know, Fran, is that I don't want the physicality taken out of any sport.
Sure.
I mean, I was at a Gaelic football match recently, and it was a final, and there wasn't a hand laid on each other, and it was the most tepid affair I was at in a long, long time. You know, and I love the physicality in sport. I love it. But one of the other things as well about yesterday's game was that, you know, and you obviously can't see it all when you're watching it on television as I was, late tackles, sledging, you know, going up screaming into lads' faces. A lot of that, when that happens, it ends up with what you saw at halftime. And the referee is he needs eyes in the back of his head. And I think that we need to start, instead of hiding behind black cards and yellow cards, start fishing out red cards and then start giving proper bans. I mean, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I go back about 10 years where my own club were involved in something a little bit unsavoury during the game. The referee abandoned the match. And there was bans of 5 and 6 games handed out. And we just had to accept it.
And that's what's needed, you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Yeah. I mean, if you ban, and you see, when you do that, there's two things that happen. You know, you listen to any of the sports shows, maybe Rolling Show Tonight, yeah, or Off the Ball, and someone says, "What did you think of Frank Curry being sent off yesterday?" And they say, "Well, you know, I don't like anyone being sent off. I don't like to see anyone being sent off." I mean, no, but what did you think of him being sent off? He deserved to be sent off. That's and it's hard luck.
We have to call it like that. You mentioned about the younger people and that they should be taught the rules, but a huge issue from what I hear, Moirish, is the parents on the sidelines who are so abusive to the referee.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what message is that sending, you know?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, look, you see, if you go to a juvenile game, I was at a juvenile game when my own son was playing under 10. I don't mind saying this. I mean, I don't care what the, you know, I'd say it. He was under 10, and the game had to be stopped. And the two teams put to one side, and the referee went to walk away. He couldn't handle it because of the abuse he was getting from both sets of parents. And I mean, do those parents, look, I'm not above shouting out the odd thing of the referee myself. I mean, look, we're all human here. But, do the parents behave like that at home? Do they scream at their children like that? Would they go into a classroom and scream at a teacher?
Well, I'm sure they wouldn't, yeah.
Like, I mean, one of the things that my father taught me, said to me, and I'm sure he wasn't alone, he said, you don't have to like people, you have to respect them.
Yeah.
And you have to respect authority. And you see, we have a problem with respecting authority. And the other thing I wanted to make was that this, the one thing that really annoys me is this thing that is, actually, they're only amateurs, they're not getting paid for it. That doesn't give you an out to be a tug. You know, it doesn't. And you can, and then you see, what's dragged into it then into debate is the referees aren't good enough. The referees, that's a separate issue. That's a separate issue. If you don't allow the referee, if you don't give the referee a chance to referee the game, we're all in this together.
I have to wrap this up, sadly. But can I ask you something else, though? Because it was the first time that a senior championship match had been decided on penalties. How do you feel about that?
I like the excitement of penalties, Fran, I have to say, but I put it this way to you. I don't like it at quarterfinal, semi-final level, and I don't like it in soccer, and I don't like it in rugby. We saw it there recently in rugby where there was a penalty shootout to decide a big game. I think when you get to quarterfinal, semi-final, I think particularly if two teams our level after extra time, and if there's a window of an opportunity there to play a replay, play it. This thing that, again, you see Paurie Joyce's comment that's for soccer, it's not for our game.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me, that's the wrong argument. That's the wrong argument. You know, but I do believe that it's not a way to decide the match. I can understand it in tournament, sorry, Fran, I won't hold you.
No, no problem.
I can understand it in tournament football, we'd say in a World Cup,
yes,
European Championship, where games have to be played, you know, and have to finish on the day. But once it gets to a quarter final or a semi final, particularly where it is amateur, and that's where the case, and there is a window there to play a replay, I think it should be played. I don't think it's fair.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what the disciplinary committee will make of it in the coming days and weeks. Moirish, thank you for your time today. Always appreciate
it. Anytime.
Thank you. And bye-bye. No, it's Moirish Walsh, broadcaster and, of course, sports pundit as well. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about the game? 1800-938-007. Now, Fianna Fáil councillor Roger Kennedy has been elected Cathaoirleach of Tipperary County Council following the AGM of the local authority in St. Paul's, lovely community hall there in Cloheen on Friday. And he joins me now. Roger, good morning to you.
Good morning, friend. Good morning, listeners.
Many congratulations to you, Roger.
Thank you very much, Fran. Thank you.
What is it like to take over at this particular time, Roger? Because it looks like it's going to be a busy term for you.
Every term is busy. Unfortunately, my predecessor didn't get a full 12 months COVID-free. Marie Murphy, she had about 9 months. And Michael Smith, who was chair the year before that, it was all during COVID.
Yes.
So, things are reopening now and everything is opening up and activities are full belt. And I started on Friday with the signing of the contract for the Arra Walkway, along with Councillor Mary Hannah, the Caolacuid Municipal District. I was with the Indian community doing yoga in the Cashel Rugby Club on Saturday morning.
Very good.
The opening of a housing estate in Tipperary Town, Harlow Meadows, a lovely council housing estate with 28 beautiful houses in it, all occupied. And, you know, it's full belt. Today is a full day of meetings.
Yes. You were making the point as well, Roger, that you hope the county development plan will pave the way for success in the county. Is that something you're looking forward to? I think we see that in September.
You'll see it in July. It's on the agenda for our council meeting in July.
Oh, very good, yeah.
To pass the county development plan, we have spent the last 2 years plus through Zoom with, I think, 25 meetings, 25 workshops behind closed doors and a few in open forum. Mm. But debating and trying to plan a county development plan that will enable business and communities and individuals to progress whatever they're at over the next number of years. 6 years is the lifetime of a county development plan. So I think we have laid a lot of positive groundwork for that development. And I look forward to that.
You mentioned about the new development in Tipperary Town, but there's no doubt housing is going to be the big thing for you.
It's going to be huge. It's going to be huge. And what's not happening at all is, and I mentioned this in my address on Friday last, what's not happening to any scale is private housing.
Yeah.
And there have been a number of meetings between the council officials and CIF, the Confederation, the industry, dealing with all building. And they have been trying to get them to crank up, permission has been got for a number of private housing developments throughout the county. But they are very slow to start because they say the economics are not right. Mm. And it's worse, the economics have got over the last 4 months.
And it looks like this is going to continue for some time as well. Are there lands that the authority has that could be freed up for more housing, do you think, Roger?
There are, and there are plans afoot to get permission on those lands. But we are all the time building. And as I said in my address, we have exceeded the target set by national government policies over the last 10 to 15 years for social housing. We've exceeded whatever targets were set for us. We will exceed them again this year and next year. We got a five-year strategy to build in excess of 1,500 houses, and we will have that much built social housing in 4 years.
Right, but that won't be enough for the kind of demand that's out there.
It won't be enough.
Yeah.
But the demand is not right. It's not huge in comparison to what was 10 years ago or 15 years ago or 20 years ago. The demand is always there, and housing is a slow process. And the demand hasn't increased hugely. The fact is that we're not able to accommodate everybody in a house currently through the schemes that are there. There aren't houses available to rent in any of the towns you take, Cashel, Care, Tipperary, Thurles, Clonmel, Rosbury and Nina. There are no houses to rent, or very, very few houses to rent. And if one comes up, it's snapped up within a day.
Absolutely, yeah. We see that.
At whatever price.
The big argument, and you may be able to do something about this in your term, Roger, is, you know, the houses that are laying vacant that could be put out there on the market for people if they were got ready quick enough. I mean, is that something you'll push for?
Yes, it's something we are pushing for, and we've brought back over 100 vacant houses in the last 2 years. And we have plans to bring back others. We have appointed a vacant housing officer to identify the vacant houses, to find out what are the legal problems with getting those back, whether it is for ordinary people or whether it is for social housing.
Many of these are council houses, you know, so it's in the...
Not too many. We have 30 in our municipal district, which covers more than a quarter of the county. Mm. We have 30 vacant houses. But that's a rolling figure, in that people are vacating council houses for whatever reason. They're either moving on, they're emigrating, they're departing the scene, those houses have to be brought back to a certain standard before they're relit. But it is one of the priorities, and it's a priority. We have Wednesday of this week, we have a special meeting of the Housing SPC. It was called for at our last full council meeting. Mm-hmm. And following that, we will have housing on the agenda at the July meeting. And if there are items that need to be addressed, we will have a special meeting during July as well, if that's necessary, because we'll give it an hour or an hour plus at our July meeting.
Before I let you go, can I just refer to some comments you made as well, and I found it interesting, and I agree with you. In fact, the disparaging comments on social media, Roger, in relation to the community in Clonean there, following the tragic deaths of those two elderly people. The keyboard warriors were out in force, and they really were very unkind, weren't they?
Yeah, they were indeed. And what hasn't been highlighted maybe sufficiently is the extraordinary length that this private reserved couple went to inform the local people that they were emigrating. Mm. That they were emigrating, and their house had been sold, and they wanted to be in isolation. They wanted to be to themselves, and it was during COVID, and people weren't chasing up anybody that was gone. The local community knew, or they have left, and that was it. And they've sold their house. We'll await to see who comes in as a new owner. It's a private house.
Yes,
and the local community cannot be blamed in any way. And what I said was the council and the people of Tipperary stand full square behind the people of Clonean in what they have done. And they were found wanting in found wanting in any way. And they looked after the people of the area, which they had organised, the same as every parish had done, for drop-offs, the GA club, the rugby club, the tidy towns. Everybody was working together to make sure that nobody was left isolated.
Well, Roger, we wish you the very best in your term. I'm sure we'll be speaking many times along the way, but look after yourself in the meantime. Thanks, Roger.
And as one of your former educationalists, I look forward to the backing of TIPFM. As I said to somebody now, they said, "Have you support?" I said, "I have brilliant support." I said, "I have two ex-pupils, one Frank Curry in TIPFM and the other Colin Bonner in charge of TIPFM." You know.
So you'll have to do well. Look after yourself, Roger. My very best to you. Thank you. Thank you. Congrats to you. Bye-bye. That's the brand new Cathaoirleach of Tipperary County Council, Councillor Roger Kennedy. 1800 938 007.
Tip Today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, puck on. You can't beat experience. With over 50 years maintaining Peugeot cars and vans, we like to call ourselves the experts. Call Slattery's Garage for a free vehicle health check today. 067 24111 or slatterysgarage.ie.